Are you ready? We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9. I believe this is a prophetic word. And I believe also that it's a prophetic word for now. It's not for then. Verse 1, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. That specifies of the Gentiles, which is now. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke of that burdens them, and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. I want to remind you that that was prophesied a year ago on July 3rd. That I was walking around carrying a baby boy. Do you remember that? Yeah, a baby boy by name. And of course, now we have a baby girl coming. And she's supposed to be born July 3rd. And of course, I've been racking my brain trying to figure out what God is saying. But in the spirit, there are no males or females. So I believe it's a possibility that this son, S-O-N, is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, is also a forecast of the corporate body of Christ starting to come together, coordinating. Okay? Again, the government will be upon his shoulders. It's not yours or mine, but it is his shoulders, which is the corporate son. Got it? He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So now, it also says that when the son was born, he was the first of many brothers, Romans 8. Got it? Who is the second son? It's the corporate son. Got it? Kind of cool, huh? Notice again of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. For that time on and forever. So everybody who's thinking about the end of the world and the end of everything, this scripture says totally the opposite. Okay? It says his government. Now that doesn't mean that other governments may not take a dip or a nosedive, because they will. I want you to be aware of the next verse. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's not going to be done by human hands. But it will be done through human instruments. Corporately.
And they talk about the zeal of God in that book that I drowned.
Huh?
They talk about the zeal of God in
that, yes, yes,
book that I drowned.
But it talks about the zeal of God. And this is talking about the zeal of God accomplishing something in the earth that's never been done. Now, I could go on over here because there's a lot more, but I want to take you to a few confirming verses that may be helpful to you in establishing what I'm trying to give you. The growth of Christ's kingdom is verified in Psalm 72, verse 16. 72, verse 16. Let grain abound throughout the land, on the tops of the hills, may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the fields. Isaiah 54, verse 3. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose nations and settle in their desolate cities. That's got double meaning. Isaiah 55, verse 5. Surely you will summon nations you know not. The nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. So the body of Christ is going to be radiant. Isaiah 60, verse 5. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas, with an S, will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Now, a lot of times people think that's only for Israel. It's also for spiritual Israel, the body of Christ. Verse 22 of the same chapter. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. That one I thought was super sweet. And the stress is in its time. Got it? Isaiah 60, 22. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Mark 4:31. It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Mark 4:32. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. There are so many more scriptures to this thing that I could go on for another hour, and I'm not going to do that. I'm prodding you. That's what I'm doing. I'm prodding you. You know what I mean by that? Poking you a little bit. To go forward and higher in the Lord. To really begin to conceive that what God is building is so much more than we have envisioned in our minds as this corporate body is coming together. When I was talking to Ron on Saturday, we were comparing some different things that God is doing, and we had a communication concerning something that Nancy had written, and I had gotten to it, but he was sharing some of it. And God is so intense in putting things together that don't often make sense until all of a sudden he starts sweeping you and he starts getting rid of all the dust. Mm-hmm. And then he says, now do you see what I've been trying to show you? Then he shakes it again and he gets rid of more dust, more garbage. And whoops, it's starting to form. And I can remember when the Lord began to teach me some of this stuff, which was back in the 80s. My concept was, oh my God, we are going to be raptured and get out of this hellhole. And the Lord said, you're going to come back and rule and reign in the earth. But nobody ever told us that we were going to rule and reign without going away. And there's a lot of interpretations about that type of theology. And I'm not trying to take you out and give you a whipping. That's not where I'm at. I'm saying to you, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him to reveal what he has plans for you. Because that way there you can't miss. And let's be honest, the times of Noah would be a forecast of what would to come. And years ago, the Lord got me all, you know, he unruffled my feathers. Because I was so upset about, you know, gay people getting married in Massachusetts. And the Lord one day said, would you just cool it? What are you getting all flustered about? Your feathers are all wrinkled up. What are you doing? What are you doing to yourself? I said, God, didn't you see what's going on? And guess what? He says, I've seen it and I prophesied that it would be. So what are you doing? As it was in the times of Noah. Were the gay people going after each other and doing all those same things because they didn't worship the living God? Is it any different today? No. So what are you getting bent out of shape about? They're doing what comes naturally. If you read Romans 1, it says, I will send strong delusion. So they're deluded. Your job is to get them undiluted and give them love. Oh, boy. Amen. Got quiet in here. When you love them, they'll get an example of what God can do with somebody. They haven't got love. They've got lust. And they think it's love. I know that's not a thing that most preachers talk about, but in this house, we talk about it because it's real. Okay? So, the real victory here is not to get bent out of shape and to just say, okay, God, send your Holy Ghost and clean them up. Because he knows how. And make this word come alive in each of us so that we can understand our part. Not to be a destroyer, but to be one that lifts them up, lifts them back where they belong, and ask the Holy Spirit to set them free. Because that's what he's doing with you and me.